the body of Christ is going to be left. And he says, I know that in the future, after my departure, savage wolves will come in among you, not sparing the flock. We need to be prepared. We need to have a solid, grounded foundation in the truth that God has given to us. Not sparing the flock. Verse 30, also from among yourselves, men will rise up speaking perverse things to draw away the disciples after themselves. Even amongst us, we have to be careful. We have to be discerning. We have to be identifying. When people begin to speak false things about God's word or promote false things about God's word, that we be discerning to see those things, to identify those things, and respond to those things. If you were to just think about false teaching that has entered the church, not just Pioneer Bible Church, but the church at large, there is false teaching. Teaching that is not promoting the whole counsel of God's word. Next slide, please. This is continuing. Therefore, watch and remember that for 3 years, Paul is saying for 3 years he was in this place and he was teaching those people, that for 3 years I did not cease to warn everyone night and day with tears. Can you see Paul's passion, Paul's conviction, Paul's commitment to the ministry, warning people night and day? And the thing is, folks, as a pastor, my job is to hand the baton to you. You have to pick up the baton of faith, and you carry that baton. It is your relationship between you and God. My job is to get the word out there. Your job is also to get the word out there. Your job is to get the word in here, that you are taking time to seek the Lord, to pray, and to read. You know what? I know this from my own experience. If you take time away from the Word of God, you will drift. And it doesn't take long. We have the privilege to have the written Word of God accessible. If you don't have a Bible, we've got boxes full of them. Come and ask me. Get a Bible. Save some money and get the Bible that you want. Use ours in the meantime. Keep it. Give it away. But if you don't spend time knowing the person of God, knowing the faithfulness of God, knowing the message of God, knowing the gospel of God, you know, there are disciplers every day in your world. The disciplers come on the radio waves. They come across the television. They come across your own thoughts and your own thinking. Without the discipling of the Word of God and the Holy Spirit of God and the people of God, you will drift. And when you drift, pretty soon you feel alone. You feel isolated. You feel like you're all by yourself. You begin to feel discouraged and despondent because you have drifted away. And it's your job. It's your call. You've been grafted into the vine. He says, I have grafted you in that you may bear much fruit. So now, brethren, I commend you to God. And there is a huge part of the leadership that does just that. God, we commend this church to you. We commend these people to you. God, these people, they're yours. Holy Spirit, work in their lives. I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and give you an inheritance among all those who are sanctified, those who are growing in God's grace and growing in God. The word sanctify, agiazo, is to make holy, to treat as holy, to set apart as holy, to sanctify, to hallow, to purify. And so God has this process that we are in. Once we have trusted Christ as our Savior, we are now abiding in Christ. We're to be walking with him. Paul says that you might walk worthy of the Lord in all pleasing to him. Two things that the church is seriously responsible for, and that is to present the gospel clearly, that we're sinners and we need a Savior. Jesus is the only Savior. Put your faith and trust in Him. And then to encourage you and motivate you and come alongside you to help you grow in your faith in Christ. If you come to Sunday, I'm glad. I'm glad you're here. I love it when you come to church. But if this is your only input for your Christian walk all week long, you're not very happy deep inside. You don't have peace. You're not content. You know, it'd be like eating one meal a week and thinking you weren't going to be hungry. You know? Okay. So Jesus speaks about these thoughts. And Jesus, let me just read it to you and you'll see. It says, enter by the narrow gate. This Christ is the narrow gate. Enter by the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leads to destruction. And there are many who go in by it. Okay? So we got narrow the way that leads to eternal life. Wide is the way that leads to destruction. Believers are on the what? We're on the narrow way. We're on the narrow way. Because narrow is the gate and difficult is the way which leads to life. And there are few who find it. You're blessed. If you know Christ as your Savior, you're blessed. If you've trusted in Jesus, you are rich to have known about Christ. Beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravenous wolves. You will know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? Even so, every good tree bears good fruit. A bad tree bears bad fruit. A good tree cannot bear bad fruit. Nor can a bad tree bear good fruit. Let's continue with what Jesus says. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. You know, words are very important to some people more than others. But words speak truth. And these words of Jesus, we can't just skip over them. We got to look at the truth of what the Word of God is saying here. Therefore, verse 20, by their fruits you will know them. And I would like for you, as I am in me, to be introspective and look at the fruit of your life. Is the fruit of your life fruit that is evidence that you are saved, that you have peace, that you know you're forgiven, that you desire to walk with the Lord, that you desire to know His person and His word? You know, one of the things that I could do today and really stir people up is in this introspection, in this examination of our hearts, is somebody goes, well, man, I'm not sure if I'm saved. You better be sure. You better be sure. You know, I hate all this violent stuff that's going on around our world, but those 10 people at that school in Texas, they did not expect to be dead this week. You are not guaranteed a day in your life. You need to choose to put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ and then commit your way unto Him. Let Him guide you and lead you. Be on a path of growing to be, you know, Christ-like. Imitate God, the Scripture says in Ephesians. By their fruits you will know them. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, didn't we work at the garage sale? And didn't we teach Sunday school? And didn't we do all these things? God, we were busy for you. Many will say to me in that day, what's that day? The day when you've ended life here, your heart is stopped, and you're standing before the Lord. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name and cast out demons in your name and done many wonders in your name? And Jesus says, and I will declare to them, I don't know you. Who are you? You were busy, but you never gave me your heart. Never gave me your life. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. A little more what Jesus says. Therefore, whoever hears these sayings of mine, Jesus says, and does them, I will liken, and this is a beautiful story of the wise man and the foolish man, right? Great song. Wise man built his house upon a rock. Right? Here's the story. Therefore, whoever hears these sayings of mine and does them, I will liken him to a wise man who built his house upon the rock. You're building your house on a rock right now, William, aren't you? You know what that's all about. The rain descended, the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house, and it did not fall, for it was founded upon a rock. And in this case, the story is, we know the rock is who? It's founded on Jesus. That's where your life needs to be founded. But everyone who hears these sayings of mine and does not do them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand, and the rain descended and the floods came and the winds blew and beat on that house and it fell. And great was the fall of it, with its fall. For whoever is ashamed of me and my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, of him the Son of Man will be ashamed when he comes in the glory of his Father with his holy angels. Okay. So, you get the picture, right? We need to be saved. We need to be growing. Now, lest there be some confusion here, I absolutely believe that salvation is by grace alone and by faith alone. It is the grace of God, and it's you putting your faith and trust in Jesus. That's how you get saved. After you get saved, the Bible says you will continue to walk in his ways. That's the evidence. You will continue to walk in Christ after you're saved. So if you accepted Christ as your Savior, and then you don't see evidence of fruit in your life, maybe you need to go back and say, Lord, I just want to confirm this. I believe in you. I trust in you. I trust what you've done on the cross. I surrender my life to you. Forgive me of my sin. Make me a new creation in Christ Jesus. Just stuff like that. Just repeating back to God what he has offered to you. I would venture to say that most of us have trusted Christ as our Savior. And we're seeing fruit in our lives, fruit of righteousness. If you wonder, it's not too bad of a day to make it right. You know, if you're not sure, it's a good day. Timothy says, actually, Paul to Timothy says, for the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but according to their own desires, because they have itching ears, they will heap up for themselves teachers, and they will turn their ears away from the truth and be turned aside to fables. So this passage is talking about people who have understood some of the gospel. Maybe they've understood what the gospel says. As pastors and elders and leaders and even Sunday school teachers and others, we pray for each other. You know, one of the things that I've often said would be kind of a cool thing to have on your gravestone at the end is, he was faithful. There is a point, though, where people who have been in the church, had kind of a Christian season in their life, that they may fall away. They may do what this verse is saying. It says they will not endure sound doctrine. They won't stick with the truth. They won't stick with God's word. Thinking up their own truth and thinking up their own way, Paul says, Timothy, look out. Stay true to the end. Stay faithful to the end. Don't turn aside. Don't follow stuff that, you know, just sounds good. Often when it sounds good, it's because you're really not dealing with the stuff in your life you should be dealing with. Next scripture, in John 6, it says, "It's the Spirit who gives life. The flesh profits nothing. The words that I speak," Jesus says, "the words that I speak to you are spirit, and they are life. But there are some among you who do not believe." Now, this is in the scene where Jesus is talking to the disciples, and Judas happens to be there. You know, it's crazy that Judas followed Christ, was actually called by Christ to be one of the 12 disciples. He didn't just slip in. Jesus called him in. And he watched everything that God did, everything that Jesus did, the healings. He even went out, we understand, as a preacher and was part of those who were sent out to preach the gospel. But from the very beginning, it says, you know what? Judas took care of the money bag, and it says specifically, when he reprimanded the woman who anointed Jesus, it says he really wasn't concerned about the money being given to the poor. He just had his hand in the money bag, you know. Verse 64, "There are some among you who do not believe, for Jesus knew from the beginning who they were who did not believe and who would betray him." Another scripture. If you go to the next slide, please. Yeah. It says, "And he said, therefore, I have said to you that no one can come to me unless it has been granted to him by my Father." And that's kind of another sermon. But if you trust Christ as Savior, it's because God has reached in and drawn you to himself. And the scripture says that in many, many places. Verse 66, "From that time, many of his disciples went back and walked with him no more." So there is this dividing of those who have heard the gospel. It says, from this time, and Jesus said some harsh things, some things that were hard to understand. It says, from this time, some of these disciples left him and would not follow him anymore. Jesus turns to the ones that are with him, and he says, "Will you leave also?" Peter makes that great statement. "To whom else would we go, Lord? You have the words of eternal life." Good job, Peter. But the scripture says here, you know, there are some who watched and listened and participated, and then they just began to drift. Maybe they were never in Christ. Well, that's actually what I believe. They were never actually in Christ. Like Judas. Saw it all, heard it all, participated in it all. But he never surrendered his life to Christ. So we have these two scriptures we've already mentioned. "Let a man examine himself, and let him so eat of the bread and drink of the cup." That's from the communion passage where Paul is speaking to the Corinthians. In chapter 2 Corinthians 13, it says, "Examine yourselves as to whether you are in the faith. Test yourselves. Do you not know yourselves that Jesus Christ is in you? Unless you indeed are disqualified." So he has these words that say, examine yourself to see if you're in the faith. You know, in the book of Romans, there's a little group of scriptures called the Romans Road. Remember hearing about that? And the Romans Road just highlights these little scriptures, and I'm not sure I have them all in order, but it, first of all, it says, you know, all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. And that's all of us. That's why we need to be saved. All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. And then in Romans it says, and the wages, the payment for sin is what? Is death. But the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. Okay? Then in Romans 5:8 it says, but God showed his love for us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us, right? And then in Romans 10:9-10, it says, and if you will confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. That's right. And that's kind of the Romans road, this road to salvation that Paul unfolds for us. Okay, the next verse. And then this verse, now going kind of to the sanctification area. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things become new. So I would just ask you, you've gone down the Romans road, let's say, and you've trusted Christ as your Savior. Is this what you evidence in your life? Behold, old things have passed away. Behold, all things become new. That's what you're looking for in your life. You're looking that old things have passed away and all things have become new. Now, does this mean that you are now a perfect person walking in Jesus? No, it does not. This sanctification process, this growing into Christ, this walking, you know, working out your salvation with fear and trembling, this walking worthy of the Lord is a daily decision to let the Holy Spirit speak to you, and you listen to him and you say, okay, Lord, I was at this crossroads. Old things would take me this way. New things would take me this way. Lord, help me obey you. Help me follow you. Oh, Lord, I went down the wrong way. And God says, yes, repent of that. Turn back. You know, it's not that you're being saved over again. It's just you're agreeing with and following the Lord Jesus down the road that he wants you to go down. So it says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, and if you've trusted Jesus as your Savior, you are in Christ. Now, he says, since you're in Christ, behold, old things are passed away. And by the way, we're all helping each other to get past old things. That's a big part of what the body of Christ is about, is that we're walking with each other. We're helping each other. We're praying for each other. We're standing with each other. I love it in the end of Jude. It says that if your brother falls in the fire of sin, what's our job? You grab his hand, snatch him out. That's the word it uses. It says, snatch him out of the fire. We get the privilege to come alongside. Raleigh mentioned that today. We're talking about you and your brother, you know, Keith. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things become new. Ephesians chapter 4 says, but you have not so learned Christ. If indeed you have heard him, have you heard him? Have you been taught by him as the truth is in Jesus, that you put off concerning your former conduct, that old man which grows corrupt according to the deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that you put on the new man which was created according to God in true righteousness and holiness. There is so much to all this. There should be in our lives, once we've accepted Christ, a new pattern of living. New interest in the scriptures, new interest in knowing about Jesus, new interest in sharing what you now have learned with somebody else that they could come to know Christ. There should be stuff churning in your soul that you're experiencing the moving of the Holy Spirit and the moving of God in your life. Let's go to the next slide. Colossians 3 says, if then you were raised with Christ, and that's what happens when you're saved, seek those things which are above. By the way, I know that I've sown doubt and you're considering all these things. I'm on the same path you guys are, the very same path. And I have been challenged to examine my life, to see what the fruit is like in my life, to recommit myself to be walking with the Lord and being faithful to the call in my life. I think God is asking this of all of us. Examine your heart, your life. Don't play church. Like I said, I'm glad you're here. It's the greatest joy when we can finally surrender and say, God, I really want to walk with you. I really do. I believe that you will bring the best into my life, though it may be hard. Doesn't mean it's going to be easy. I believe that what you've promised about heaven is true. I believe that what you have said, you have promised, and you will be faithful to do it. And God, I just want to walk by faith. Seek those things which are above, where Christ is sitting at the right hand of God. Set your mind, and this is a challenge for all of us, set your mind on things above, not on things of the earth. So much to contemplate in all of that. By the way, you're not doing it alone. The Holy Spirit is indwelling you and helping you and leading you and guiding you. For you died and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, appears, then you're going to appear with him in glory. So therefore, and then there's this whole long list, and she says, put to death the stuff that used to be part of the old life. Seek me. Let's go to the next scripture. Philippians says, but what things were gained to me, these I have counted for loss. It's interesting that Paul was an extremely religious guy before he came to Christ. He followed the rules and he followed the laws and he served and he was just like this, this Jewish man on steroids. He was just following the law to the letter and doing all this stuff. And he says, you know what? When I look back now, finding Christ, all that is just rubbish to me. I don't count on any of that to save me. I count all things loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I've suffered loss in all things and count them as rubbish, that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having my own righteousness. It's not about me. It's about all the righteousness that Christ is and that he performed for us in his dying for us on the cross, and we can put our faith and trust in him. Yep, next. Slide. And then here's this Jesus and the vine, and we'll just kind of wrap it up with this. So Jesus makes these statements, and I will qualify them a little bit. This is before the cross when he's making these statements, but he says, I'm the vine and you're the branches. He who abides or continues in me and I in him bears much fruit. For without me you can do nothing. So anything that's going to be of value is going to be what happens after you're in Christ. Oh, you know, you may be, or we may be like Paul and have lots of good things and people look, wow, they're really busy. They're really doing stuff for God. But there's a humility that has to happen where we surrender and we say, God, I need you in my life. I need you in my heart. I need you to save me. I need to confess this sin and not run from it. And I need to say, God, I need you to forgive me for all this stuff. Will they bear fruit? For without me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, and that's the hard part. If anybody doesn't abide in me truly, he is cast out like a branch and is withered, and they're gathered up and thrown into the fire and burned. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, and this is where, you know, people love this next part. It says, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, you will ask whatever you desire and it shall be done for you. You know, people want answers to prayer. They want God to just do everything they ask him. But the qualifier is, if you abide, if you continue, then you'll ask, if you're walking with me, you're abiding in me, you're grafted in, you're part of my family, you've humbled yourself before the Lord God and said, God, I need you. I'm yours, Lord. He says, then you ask whatever you will, and I'll do that for you. I don't know how God's going to answer those prayers, but that's his promise. And by this, my Father is glorified. We lift up, we magnify the name of Jesus when we agree to and follow and believe and put our faith and trust in him. My Father is glorified that you bear much fruit, so you will be my disciples. There's a lot more, but let me just tell you how we're going to end our service. Again, why don't the worship team come on up, and And we're going to just sing a song that lifts up the name of Jesus. So having altar calls, having times where you can respond to what the Spirit of God is doing in your soul right now, is something we're kind of learning to do at Pioneer Bible Church. For many, many years, we just preached a sermon and we let you think about it and go home. But I have a conviction in my heart, and many of you have talked to me about it, that we need a time to make spiritual decisions. And we make them humbly, and we make them in front of each other. It doesn't have to be in front of each other. But, you know, the thing that keeps us from making decisions, well, you know what keeps us from making decisions. We just want to pray together. We just want to talk together. We just want to come alongside one another. Two things that are the greatest burdens of my heart is that you know you're saved and that you're growing in your faith. And you're growing in your faith is evidence that you indeed became a new creation in Christ Jesus. So there's a number of people who have just said, we want to pray with people. So they're going to come up here and be here. We're doing this song. We're going to stand together. And if you just want somebody to pray with you, give you a chance to speak whatever's on your heart about the stuff that we've talked about, and then we'll pray. By the way, after we pray and after we sing, we're going to stop and change the whole mood, and we're going to talk about moving furniture. But we want this time to be able to pray. So give us just a few minutes to do that. And let's stand together.
God, we give you glory, honor, and praise, Lord. That's due your name. We thank you, Lord God. We thank you for your word. We thank you for your sacrifice, Lord God. We thank you that you call us redeemed, Lord God. We are so blessed and so grateful, Lord, to you. We thank you for all that you do in us, Lord. Lord, let our lives just be bearing fruit for you, Lord God, in all that we do. And all God's people said, amen. Amen. So we're going to, let's see. I know we have potluck, but we also need to move chairs out of here. If anybody wanted to help me with sound stuff, just basically I need to put any type of equipment like stands and stuff in the side room, wrap up cables. I'm going to tear apart the sound system back there, but I got to label cables so I know what plugs back into where.
Good. If I could interrupt you, I know you've already started shaking hands. Sorry about that. If I could just have you just wait for just a second. What we'd like to do right now is we're gonna break down these chairs into about stacks of six, and we're going to put them in the hallway from that VBS sign all the way out to the front door. So they're basically going to be in the foyer. And then, like Mike said, if you're interested in helping break down this equipment, that would be helpful. Those of you that are kind of going to get lunch ready, you can go ahead and do that. And then after lunch, we're going to be moving furniture in the offices. I'm hoping that a few of you will stick around. Okay? We'll move chairs, and God bless you. This is going to be kind of chaos, but let's do it together.